Blog Talk Radio.
Ameridote bullshit.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Another great episode of Dynamic Dojo with Restita and Robert. It is January 5th. Happy New Year, everybody. And I want everyone to make sure that you just sit back and relax because we've got a great guest coming to join us at about 6:30 Pacific time. To start off our new year, we will have Master Ken from the Ameridote Dojo joining us a little bit later. So don't go away, listeners. Wow. This is going to be cool. A cool way to start the year. What do you think, Bob?
Oh, my God. No wonder you muted my mic, because when you played that sound bite, I thought I was going to wet myself.
Don't do that. Don't do that. When I put it together, I was like, oh, my God. Gonna be corny, but I'll do it anyway.
Oh, it was fun. A lot of fun time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, also joining us on the helm today is Sensei Wayne Riley, who is actually doing a world record on Woo-hoo! Dynamic Dojo, because this is like the third time in a row, isn't it? The third time in a row.
That's the third time, yes it is.
Yeah, third time's a charm. We might have to make you a regular or something.
I know.
So, yay, thanks for joining us again to be a guest co-host. So,
hey,
let's get on
pleasure.
With the show, so that way when we call the Ameridote Dojo later that we're not late, because we can't keep Ken waiting, you know. So. All right. So, I just got to double-check something here. Does anyone, have their laptop speakers on?
No.
Nope.
No? Okay, cool. All right, just making sure.
Well, you get a backbeat again?
Well, I don't know if it's backbeat or if there was somebody in the background.
Well, it
could have
been mine. It could have been mine. I don't know. I hit mute a minute ago and it didn't mute, but I see the button is actually activated now.
Don't worry, I wish Rusty had a mute button sometimes, but it never worked.
Oh, man. I can't. It's a good thing I can't find my crickets. I can't find my crickets. Oh, here they are. Okay. I think where did it go? I just had. There we go. All right,
there you
let's
go.
Keep moving. Yeah.
Did you go to the site that Sifu Bob had talked about the other day with Kuvi, yeah.
Yeah, well, I did, but there's something going on with that app that is draining my battery.
Yeah, I couldn't get it either.
Yeah, it's I got it, but it drains my battery somehow. Yeah, it drains my battery, and I can actually sit there and watch it go 93, 92, 91. I'm like, screw it, I'm taking this damn app off my phone. I'll have to go on the internet to find Scooby sound effects. But anyway. Let's go to birthdays. Why don't we go to birthdays there, Sifu Bob?
Well, I want to wish a happy birthday to Jules Mahalo. She's one of our new
happy
hosts
birthday,
on one of our shows with Grandmaster Al Degaskos. Her birthday is on the 5th, today.
Today. Happy
Master,
birthday, Jules.
Today. Master Richard Norton, which was a past guest.
Oh, wow.
Phenomenal actor. His birthday is tomorrow. Jason Velez, which is a board member of the USCMAS with us, his birthday is on the 7th. We have Amy Dolenz. She is the daughter to Mickey Dolenz of the famed Monkees of the 1960s
That's cool.
and 70s.
That's cool.
Which is all. She's also married to Jerry Trimble that I used to – trained with a little bit about 25 years ago or so.
God, that age.
Willem Dutoir. He is the brother of Victor Dutoir and the late Paul Dutoir. His birthday is on the 9th. A Los Angeles Facebook friend, Nadia Smalley, her birthday is also on the 9th. And you have some birthday shout-outs as well.
I do. On January 8th, one of my black belt students, John Moore, is having his birthday. So happy birthday to John. Also, on January 11th, the Kakoe Doce Pares headquarters will be 82 years old. And also on the 11th, my Facebook friend, Rusty De Jesus, no joke, this guy's name is Rusty De Jesus. And I've had friends friend him.
Hey, you don't have a secret there,
me.
Do you?
But I've got a doppelganger in the form of some dude in the Philippines.
Yeah.
So I've had people friend this guy thinking it was me, right? So I said, screw it, I'm just going to friend him. Okay, and also on the 11th, an old Kajikembo classmate of mine, Mr. Carl Hingson. So for everyone out there that's having a birthday, here's that special tune for you. Let's move on to our shout-outs of the week. Does anyone have any shout-outs?
I do, believe it
okay.
or not.
Cool.
Next weekend, the Martial Arts History Museum, located here in Burbank, is having a very special ceremony. They're unveiling a wall that they're creating as we speak. I visited the curator, Michael Matsuda, yesterday, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a wall of the individuals who were honored and inducted into the museum's Honor Society this year, which is, like, really cool. I'll be there because I was one of the 120 honorees. And the following weekend at the Martial Arts History Museum, they're going to be having a screening of the movie Gung Pao. It's a very comical satire, and the actor's going to be there, the star, because he starred in it, he wrote it, he produced it, I think he even directed it.
I think he did. He did.
And I'm actually going to hit him up to do our show, unless it's like those other celebrities we've tried to get on where I have to go through a publicist and you know, their nanny and everybody else who controls their life, you know?
Yeah, you have to
go through. If I get through their gatekeepers, I'm golden.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that movie Kung Pao, when I first saw it, I think I did pee myself when I first saw the movie. I think I did.
One of the funniest things I saw was the outtake at the end where all these karate guys are pounding him in the groin with these bows, and he looks up and says, "Hey, can I get a cup?"
Oh man, Steve Odekirk, what a guy! You know, and you know that's a great segue in reminding our listeners who our guest is going to be for later on. So, listeners, if you're just now tuning in, stay tuned because you know we just got done talking about Steve Odekirk, who was ingenious with the movie Kung Pao and the physical and visual comedy that was very like airplane-esque, so to speak, right?
Right.
And yep. Later on, at about 6:30, we're going to have Master Ken of the Enter the Dojo Hit web series on YouTube. Don't miss out. So it'll be kind of cool.
And for you people who didn't understand the reference, for you people who aren't, may be as old as Rusty, Wayne, and myself, that Airplane reference, Airplane was a movie with comical satire with Leslie Nielsen. You forget, not everybody's as old as you are, Rusty.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I love you, too.
I love you, too. I'm sitting here really, I'm sitting on my hands going, don't make the hair joke. Don't make any hair jokes.
Yeah, what hair? Bite me.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I think if that's it for shout-out, Sensei Wayne, shout-out?
Yeah, let me get – I want to get a shout-out. There's a new organization out there that is founded in the style that I train in, Ishinru. It's called the Shinshinkan Ishinru.
Mm-hmm.
Association. They're just getting started, and I just wanted to give them a shout out. I think Mr. Deck may be calling in today. He's a representative of them from Tennessee, and Hanshi Kantori is the one that runs it. But you know, they're trying to get off the ground, and I just wanted to give them a shout out for support.
Awesome. Very cool. Awesome. Alrighty. Well, our next bit, let's go into health news. All right. So for this health news, considering that everything that I found interesting this past week was like an article that was 2 pages long, there's no way I'm going to be able to read all that without flubbing up somewhere. So instead, I did find an interesting little article about life logging, quote unquote. And this particular article is mainly for all of the people out there that really rely on their electronics and their connectivity to the internet. So it's an actual app that you can put on your iPhone or your Android phone. And this particular article originally aired on January 3rd, this past January 3rd. And it's titled, Want to Keep Track of Your Health Life? Life Log It Then. And find connections to determining what is causing your discomfort, ailments, and et cetera. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and listen to this short, well, it's about 5 minutes, but it's actually pretty interesting if you're, you know, into using apps to help you with your fitness. You know, like they've got like the 100 push-up app, 100 sit-up app, and you know, exercise apps up the Yahoo and stuff, but this is something that'll actually log everything about your health. So let's listen in.
These days, some people are trying to improve their health with gadgets and apps. They gather data about eating habits and exercise, and that's just the beginning in the quantified self movement. It promotes life logging, which aims to improve life by tracking as many details as possible. We spoke to Kitty Ireland, who works for a life logging app called Saga, and David Goldstein, who turned to life logging with the help of a coach, Josh Manley. He wanted to control his weight and chronic pain after some catastrophic health problems, including cancer and a bus accident. Can you give me a concrete example, I mean, of something that you've learned that you feel like has really helped you have a healthier life?
Absolutely. A great example, I would say, is something as simple as coffee. When Josh and I first sat down, he asked me, you know, about how much sugar are you getting? And I was like, oh, I don't eat candy. I don't eat any of that. You know, I maybe have a sugar with my coffee. And I was shocked to see that I was drinking something like 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day and having 2 to 3 sugars in every single cup of coffee.
How is this different than, say, programs like Weight Watchers, where you record the amount that you're eating and keep track of it?
I'd say it's built along a lot of the same lines. I'd say where this kind of varies is trying to really hone in on the impact of the food on other parts of your health as well. So with my chronic back pain, if we were kind of taking care of fruits, vegetables, and nuts and getting a lot of water, my back pain tended to do better on those days.
So you would be recording how your back feels on a day. You'd also be recording what you were eating and drinking, and you could start to see connections and know what you could put into your body that might make your back feel better that day.
That's exactly right. We also experimented with levels of exercise. And while I didn't notice an improvement in my back pain like the same day I exercised, what I did notice is after a couple weeks of regular exercise, we started to see the back pain levels dip down.
Kitty, can you give me a window into, you actually work for a company that makes Saga, this life logging app, and you say that it records everything. I mean, how does it work?
Yeah, so your phone, if you have a smartphone, has all kinds of sensors. GPS, microphone. Android actually uses a barometer now, so we can, for instance, tell whether you're indoor or outdoors.
So it's collecting information all these sorts of ways.
Right. You can bring in data from Facebook, from Twitter, from all kinds of health and fitness apps. Mood Panda is one of the apps that we integrate, so you can look at, you know, where was I when I had that really good mood? Who was I with? What was I doing?
I'm feeling bad for the friend who I find out that I was not feeling that great that day, and I was consistently at lunch with that person when
yeah,
I wasn't feeling
and
good.
You know, you really have to question some of your relationships after a while if you're always miserable around that person.
It seems like a key to this is technology, but you spoke at a recent conference about finding your grandmother's diary and realizing that she, in a way, was a life logger as well.
This year, I dug up a 1942 diary that my grandmother kept the year she turned 16.
1942.
So there's all this great wartime stuff in there. The sailors and the soldiers are all coming through. All of the boys she was seeing at the time, and there were a lot of boys she was seeing at the time. I was shocked, honestly. Like, she has a list in the back, and there are 57 boys she's kissed. And I'm just like, Grandma, really? Actually, that was the data that I chose to extract from the diary, was her mentions of boys. And it was really fascinating because she fell in love with this one boy, Zip. And most boys were mentioned up to about 20 times in a month.
Okay.
Zip went up to about 50. And this happened before she started saying she was falling for him. So, you know, it took a couple of weeks for her to catch up with how much she liked this guy.
But I guess we are just reading about the boys who she wanted to put in the diary. Modern life logging might have seen everyone. There might have been others.
Right. She writes down all of this mundane stuff, which, you know, when I was a teenager, I certainly didn't think about writing down the weather or what I ate that day. And she's keeping track of all this stuff. And so as I was reading it, I was like, wow, Grandma was kind of a life logger. You know, if she had access to the technology that we do now, she really would have probably created a complete archive.
Okay, one more question for you both. If someone heard about this and said, my God, this is kind of creepy, what would you tell them if they're skeptical of this?
I would tell them that it's exactly the information you and your doctor need to get yourself to be healthy, and it doesn't have to be anything more than that. So it's only what you want to share. It's only with whom you want to share it with, and it can be data that can add so much to your life that the extreme remote risk that you're putting your data at is very well worth it.
So what I think is creepy is the fact that there is data being collected about me that I don't know is being collected. A life logging tool gives back some of that control to you, lets you use the data. And to David's point, that's really what this is all about. It's like, what is the value you get out of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, corporations already have an unbelievable amount of data on us that they use to improve themselves and their bottom line. You know, I do think it's about time for us to start collecting our own data and use it for our own advantage as well.
Listen, thank you both so much. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Weird news.
Wow. Yeah, you gotta press that unmute button, Rusty. Well, this comes from Florida. Rusty Johnson, Kim Johnson, accused of forcing a teenage relative to drink, smoke pot, and drive. 2014, a Florida couple has been charged with child abuse after allegedly encouraging a teenage relative to smoke pot, drink beer, and then drive them around Brevard County. Rusty Douglas Johnson, 41, and Kim Johnson, 32, were arrested last Thursday and charged with cruelty to a child and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. That's what NBC Miami reported. Police say the child, whose name, age, and sex has not been released, was in the care of the Johnsons. The couple allegedly gave the victim marijuana on four separate occasions. During one recent two-day drug binge, the youngster supposedly hallucinated but was still forced to get behind the wheel of a car. And that's what the Orlando Sentinel said. In order to avoid smoking any more pot, the victim contacted another family member who reported the couple to the Rockledge Police Department. A drug and alcohol screening showed the victim tested positive for cannabis and alcohol. It's troubling that relatives would think it's acceptable to provide an underage person the substances they provided them with. Rockledge Police Chief Joseph Lasata told ClickOrlando.com the couple was arrested and Kim Johnson was later released on bail. Wow. How bad is that? That's horrible. Those people need to go to jail.
Yeah.
And it says Rusty Johnson is still being held behind bars and also charged with a parole violation. Good. This guy's a career criminal.
God.
Oh, that is horrible.
That is.
Now, that was
a
segue into weird laws. These weird laws come from Italy. It is illegal to die in the Italian village of Feliciano del Masico, as issued by the mayor.
What the hell?
can you choose where you're going to die? Okay, if I can do that, I want to choose to die in Lucy Liu's bed. That's my bucket list. That's where I choose to die.
Where are my crickets?
Find them crickets.
This is a
weird one, and I had never heard of this before. It is illegal to practice the profession of charlatanry. Now, what that is, because I looked it up today, it's lying about skill, about possessing things, whether it's skills or certain things that you don't possess. And it's illegal. But now they're calling it a profession. So basically, it's a con game. You cannot trick people into believing you're something you're not.
So what do they call the people that practice that? Like charlatanists? Or what do they call that? Because I've met a few martial artists that are charlatanists.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that
I'm 22 years old, and I'm a 6th-degree black belt. Yeah, okay. All right.
Wow, you knew how to visit one end of the spectrum, that's for sure. A man may be arrested, and this is one of those laws I wish they had out here.
Okay.
A man may be arrested for wearing a skirt. Not a kilt.
Well, that sucks.
Striking someone with a fist is considered a felony.
What?
With your fist?
With your fist, where typically it's a misdemeanor. So I guess you can slap somebody, you just can't punch them.
What? That makes no sense.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
What happens if you have to defend yourself?
Right.
Right? I don't know.
Pull their hair. Poke them in the eye.
Yeah.
But don't you close that fist.
Don't punch them because, can't punch them. Can we kick them?
It just says close fist.
That's awesome. Oh, gosh. Was that it for the weird news already? Oh, my goodness. We're running out of countries and stuff like that for weird news. But anyway, that was Bob.
Weird news.
All right, let's go ahead and take a short break. And when we return, we will call the Ameridote Dojo. So let's go ahead and listen to this song. Now, this particular song is dedicated to another master of martial arts comedy, the great Jackie Chan himself. So we'll be back in about 3 minutes. We'll see you guys in a little bit.
Yeah.
The helm with us, and here in a sec we're gonna call the Ameridote Dojo and Master Ken. But you know what, you guys, I didn't realize that Jackie Chan could sing. He actually sung that song, and I also realized that he sang another well-known kung fu wushu theme song, so to speak. And I was like, whoa, he's pretty good. And I was just telling Wayne in the chat board that I saw a video of Jackie Chan singing karaoke for his mom, and he's really good.
You know, I heard I thought I heard somewhere that he was, you know how all these actors always, they've got to do some kind of album, you know?
Yeah.
I thought I heard somewhere along the lines that he had done something like that at one time.
You know,
I
would imagine that it's something like that. I would imagine there was something like that because, you know, that particular song came from the soundtrack for Drunken Master 2. And then he did, I think it was another variation of the original Drunken Master theme of his movies. Because he did, like, the original Drunken Master, like, in the 80s or something like that. And then Drunken Master 2... came out, I forget when, but it's relatively recent, like within the last 10 years. I know it's like a 2000-something film or whatever. But he sang another song called A Man Must... I forgot the name of the song. But it's more of an upbeat variation of the original Drunken Master's theme. And I'm like, wow, that sounds like Jackie Chan. And then I did some research. I'm like, oh, my God, it is Jackie Chan. That's awesome. That's so awesome. All right. Well, let me pull out the Rolodex here. I gotta go in my business cards here and find the Ameridote Dojo. Let's see. Oh, here we go. All right. Let us call the Ameridote Dojo. Here we go. Let's see. I hope Master Ken is there. I hope he's not in class or anything.
Yeah, put down some hurricane.
Yeah, he's probably practicing the hurricane. I wonder if it's going to be a good time to call. Let me see here. Gonna make sure I'm dialing it right. All right. Here we go.
Hello.
Hi, is this Master Ken? This is Restita from Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for joining us, Master Ken. Right on.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah. Right on. I don't know what I did with my applause. I'm sorry. But anyhow, I am I am joined by my co-host, Bob Deal. Say hi, Bob.
Good evening, Master Ken.
Hello, Bob.
And I'm also joined by guest co-host, Sensei Wayne Riley. Say hi, Wayne.
Hey, Master Ken. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. I'm fantastic.
Awesome. Now, if any of our listeners out there want to talk to Master Ken, I think we're only going to be able to have Master Ken for maybe about 15 minutes, and he's got to go back and teach the Hurricane, and then we'll have to talk to some other people. But give us a call, 347-677-0699. Come on, don't be shy. You know y'all want to talk to the Master of the Hurricane. Come on now. Call in now. So with that in mind, thanks again, Master Ken, for joining us. And I'm sure the listeners definitely want to know. In fact, I got an email about this morning. They want to know the background of Ameridote. Now, all of us know that it's the best of all and the worst of none. But what is the main driving force behind the art besides the thrust of freedom?
The Ameridote was created after I wasted many, many years on other martial arts. If you come into my office, I actually have various certifications from other martial arts. I got the blue belt in Shotokan before I realized that was bullshit. I got to yellow belt in Krav Maga before I realized that was bullshit. I just have a picture of a kung fu studio because I could tell that was bullshit from the parking lot. So I didn't bother going inside. But after studying for about over a decade in various martial arts, I realized they were all flawed. So I decided to take the best parts of every martial art in the world and combine it into one invincible martial art. And that was the beginning of Ameridote.
Oh, right on. Now, I just got a text, and the text asks, what was the origin of the Hurricane? And what, if any, arts did you have to delve into to develop this unbeatable technique?
The Hurricane was easier than you might think. I actually developed that technique after my first seizure.
Sorry. I think that's what my problem is. I tried it the other day. I was like, hey, you guys, in my own dojo, and I'm really trying hard not to teach them that it's all bullshit, but that's why they're watching your series. But
good.
I tried it with them the other day, and I just couldn't do it. In fact, my students are like, that's not the way Master Ken does it. So, damn it, I just got to go have a seizure now.
Yeah, it's that particular technique is very good for epileptics. So if you can have, if before you begin Ameridote, if you can already have epilepsy, that will help.
Now, one of our Facebook fans wants to ask. Okay, I have to know, where did the thrust of freedom come from? Because I guess he's going to go try and practice it.
Yeah, the thrust of freedom is a technique that I believe the first time I got the idea for it was in a dance club. I ended up in a club that for some reason was only full of men, they were doing that move to me on the dance floor, and then the only way to get out of the dance pit was to do it back to them. So I managed to push them away with my hips and found that to be very effective. So it grew from there.
Master Ken, I've got to ask this question. In this dance club, were there assless chaps involved?
I didn't manage to go to the buffet, so I don't know what they were serving.
I'm gonna wonder why Bob had to ask about the assless chaps.
Absolutely.
Bob.
The next question is if he himself has a pair.
Yes.
That's
and, you know, we don't, well, yeah, Yeah, because you know how like Chuck Norris had the kicking jeans with the gusset? You ain't got to worry about that with the assless chaps. There you go.
Exactly.
No binding.
Exactly. No binding. See, I'm learning from
Yeah, you just have to worry primarily, you just have to worry about the cold.
That's true. But I've always wondered, though, Master Ken, you know, does it really matter if it's cold or not? Because, like, do guys get, like, the whole, like, you know, it's cold out here like the girls do? I don't know.
But the opposite way.
It's a different our body parts, your body parts advance, our body parts retreat.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh. Then the thrust of freedom definitely is not a suitable technique for women, correct?
It actually can work because women tend to have more power in their hips than men do.
Awesome. I'll have to practice that. All right. Well, I'm going to turn the mic over to Sensei Wayne. Sensei Wayne, do you have any questions for Master Ken?
What does it take to get involved in a Meridote?
The easiest way is to follow us online. You can go to enterthedojoshow.com or youtube.com/enterthedojoshow and follow my video instruction and just study from home or in your dojo. If that's not enough for you, though, you could certainly go ahead and quit your job and move to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and attend my dojo personally. That's the only way to get a true official certification, but the online program is the second best.
I just need to find out what I'm doing wrong with my kill face. I've busted every mirror in the house.
Well, that's progress.
Okay.
Yeah, that's progress. That's actually what I would recommend next is to try to kill a plant. If you can kill a plant with your kill face, you're on your way.
Got that, Wayne?
I can kill a plant without a kill face. I just don't water them.
but to know that you've mastered the kill face, go kill a cactus.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
Yeah.
It's one of the only things you can kill without a lot of legal ramifications.
Right. So Sifu Bob, do you have a question for Master Ken?
Absolutely. Master Ken, tell me about Ameridote's ranking system. Belt ranks, years in tender, the whole thing, all the way from white up to black.
Well, we follow some aspects of the traditional ranking system, white through black belt with, if you've seen the show, we have a white belt, a couple of orange belts, we have a blue belt and a purple belt and a brown belt. I myself managed to certify myself from first degree all the way up to 11th degree black belt. And then it does go beyond that. Pretty soon I'm going to have to promote my brown belt to a black belt, which means my rank will be meaningless, in which case I'm going to have to go above 11th degree black belt. I'm thinking it's probably going to be some sort of camouflage belt.
There you go.
Interesting.
Very cool.
I don't know if I can do this anymore, Bob. So thank you for joining us, Master Ken. And now I'd like to introduce another important gentleman. I'd like to bring on the mic Mr. Matt Page, the brains behind the Ameridote and the Enter the Dojo series. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I can't do it anymore.
can you play that clip for Matt, though?
What's that?
Can you do that for me? Can you play that clip for me?
Oh, you mean this one?
Ameridote bullshit.
That's great.
Oh man, yeah. I was thinking, okay, I can make this another 5 minutes, but I couldn't do it. I started to pee myself. So
and my job here is already done.
Yeah, let's have Ken go back to the dojo. Let's see. Oh God, I love it when people actually text me on my phone. to ask Master Ken questions. Sorry, Master Ken's already teaching the Hurricane. No. anyway, this text goes, is there time for another question for Master Ken? If so, I understand that stick fighting is bullshit, but, oh, I lost it. Where'd it go? God dang it, I lost it. Ah. Now I got to open my phone. I've got, like, one of those screwy apps that, like, puts your text up on your computer, and now I can't find it. Okay, so it says, maybe Matt can answer for Master Ken. I understand that stick fighting is not an art. In fact, it's bullshit. Does Master Ken promote a preferred weapon in Ameridote besides the obvious kill phase? I was particularly fond of the feather pee pants option. So, thank you, area code 206. Oh, maybe we could get Master Ken a little bit later, but I don't know if he's...
Yeah, maybe we can get him back.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, this series, Enter the Dojo, how long has it been on? It's been like almost... Has it been almost 2 years, Matt?
We started... We launched our first episode August 5th of 2011, so we're going on three years.
Oh, my gosh. Like, when I first saw it, the first episode I saw, it was forwarded to me by a friend of mine, and he goes, you have to see this. I don't know what to think of it. And I watched it, and I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be big. And anyone out there who's a martial arts master whose first name is Ken will never look at their dang title the same ever again. And, you know,
That's the truth. Who
knew? Now, when you... Now, was it you that came up with this idea, or was it like a brainchild of like a group of people?
I actually I've been training since I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I've trained in various arts, and the format of the web series, people doing YouTube shows, was becoming popular, and I wanted it out, and I was obsessed with The Office, the original Office, the BBC version with Ricky Gervais.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, and so I wanted to do a... And I also was a big fan of Christopher Guest, like Waiting for Guffman and the other... This is Spinal Tap and The mm-hmm. Mocking... So I wanted to do something like that, and I had spent a lot... So I just decided to kind of create this character based on some really bizarre martial arts instructors that I'd had. And honestly, you know, some of the things that I come up with are definitely outrageous and have never happened because they couldn't happen. But some of the things that I've said and done on the show are direct from real life, real things that have happened mm-hmm. in classes. And I was really excited that as soon as I release it and as soon as I put it out to the martial arts community, they were like, oh, my God, this is, you're right. This is the way it is. Like, this is sometimes the way it is. And so it's been really gratifying to be embraced by the martial arts community by poking fun at them.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You know, what I thought was really cool about it after, like, the fifth episode, I was like, oh, my God, I've got a student like that. Oh, my God, you know, and all the other martial arts instructors out there that, you know, that were sharing these and we're like talking about it on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. We're like, oh my God, I've got a student like that too. And, you know, and it's real in that aspect. And it's so ridiculous that it is real.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the beauty of it. Now, speaking of which though, you know, when it first came out, I noticed that there were a few people commenting on the YouTube threads that were really offended.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, we're all like, oh, come on, chill out. It's not real. And, you know, and these conversations would go on and on and on. And I wondered, do these people even realize that this is a parody? What's going on?
Right.
A lot of people still, even at this point, we've been online for 2.5 years, and Master Ken has actually done things that defy the law of physics. I mean, we've done things in the show that are absolutely impossible, and there's still people every day that comment. I was just reading one today. Some guy said, I don't understand this dojo, but these guys are disrespecting the tradition of martial arts. You know, I don't know who this joker is. I can't believe he's allowed to teach. People still think he's a, you know, it's a real thing, which is great. I mean, it's kind of flattering when people think that.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what I think is funny is that, you know, how can they not, you know, how can they not realize that it isn't real? Because, you know, it's like too produced. You know,
but that's also a testament. That's also a testament to the status, to the state of martial arts, because we're not that far removed from the way some people are, and so it's believable. It's the martial arts world's fault that we're believable, because I'm taking this stuff from real life, and the fact that people don't immediately think that this is a farce is because they've met somebody like that, or they've trained in a dojo where things like that happened. So that we're only, a lot of times I'm only reflecting things that I've witnessed. You know, whenever I feel like I'm running low on ideas, all I got to do is go back to class, and sooner or later something happens where I'm like, ah, that's an episode right there. That's an episode.
that is funny, because that was actually my next question was, you know, do you come up with the ideas for show subjects, or does the cast, you know, come up with these subjects and go, hey, Matt, what do you think of this? You know, and stuff like that. And that's awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm the only, myself and Joe Conway, who actually owns the dojo where we film. It's called ABQ Karate, and it's an American Kempo school, and it's in Albuquerque. He and I are the trained martial artists. Nobody else on the show has any background in martial arts, so I usually have to provide the premise, like, you know, this episode is about pressure points, and I sometimes will explain to the cast, okay, you know, pressure, but here's the basic idea of what this is about. But then they come up with a lot of great stuff as we're filming. So usually every episode is about 50% scripted, and then 50% of stuff we just got ideas about, ideas that the cast threw in, you know, rewriting things. Something funny will happen on set, and we'll be like, okay, we should incorporate that. And so it's usually about a 50-50 split of how the episodes come together.
That's awesome. Wayne, do you have any questions?
You know, I was looking, you had done an interview with Karate by Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
And in there, you had mentioned something, or he had, about trying to pitch the idea to television.
Yeah, you know, I did what they call the bottled water tour, where I got some interest in Hollywood, so they invite you to Hollywood, and you go into all these offices, and everyone offers you a bottle of water. And you sit down, and you pitch them, you know, you pitch them the show. And, you know, I pitched it to Comedy Central. I pitched it to, it got pitched to FX, to IFC, to all the places we thought it would go to. And, you know, nobody really bit, what it seems like Hollywood tends to do is they say, hey, we really like that. What else you got? And I was kind of like, well, but this is what I spend all my time. I want to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The strange thing is, you know, in America, we haven't had as much interest in turning into a show, but you know where we're getting a ton of interest is in the UK.
Wow.
The show is so popular over there. Whenever I go over there, I feel like a superstar, because, I mean, like, at the conventions and at the events and everything, people just love the show. They love Master Ken. And so we're starting to talk to people who work for the BBC, ironically, about maybe perhaps going that route, because for some reason, in the UK, we're just wildly popular.
Yeah, that's that would be perfect, because,
yeah, I see,
you know,
like,
I think
what,
it's
two,
the British
over
sense
2
of humor.
Million views on your,
what's
your,
that?
Show? It's like two over 2 million views.
If you look at, actually, our channel is up to, it's, we're going to hit 5 million here pretty soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's getting up there. But, you know, it's very complicated. I'm finding, I'm learning a lot about how a show becomes a show, and there's a lot of factors to it. But, you know, we also, I want it to be, you know, out there to the masses. I would love for it to be a formal television show. If it can't be in America, maybe it could be overseas, but I'm still all for that. I've put it out there and pitched it. You know, I mean, I think the next step is probably, we've been talking a lot about doing trying to do a movie. It might end up having to be a movie instead of a series.
That would be
That'd be really cool.
Oh my god, that would be so cool.
That would be insane.
Hey, I'd definitely go.
I would go see it like 50 times and then pirate
the
pirate the
DM. Yeah, we did. Well, we've kicked around a lot of great ideas, and we have a couple of versions of the script that we're working on that we think would be really funny that we know the fans would really love. So I'm just hoping that the fan base continues to grow every month. More people discover the show, more people are sharing it. I'm doing these live events now. I do Master Ken Live. I do Ameridote seminars, we call them. Where I fly around and do these 1-hour comedy shows as Master Ken. People love it. So I'm sure it'll reach a critical mass at a certain point where we'll just be able to either get a movie funded or get it on some kind of network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Have you tried, through the independents? What do you call that? For the short films, what is that called? Crap. I can't remember. I'm a total cancel that.
Cancel that. I don't know.
Google it.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Bob, do you have any questions for Matt?
Well, Matt, what I think is so cool is that watching your show, because I've never heard of it before, Rusty and I are very involved with the Masters Hall of Fame, and you're going to MC this year at the Masters Hall of Fame coming up in August.
Absolutely.
In fact, I was in charge of running the seminars for this last Masters Hall of Fame.
Dude.
And I didn't know that one of the instructors was actually playing a clip from your first show, and I just found that out today. Now, I'm wondering about some of the ideas. There was one, and any you will have to excuse me. There was one I swore I was going to wet myself.
Which one was that?
You had some environmental training.
Yeah.
An episode. And okay, I'm going to say this very politically correct, Rusty. This girl brought in this woman pleasuring enhancement device.
Gotta love Rachel, though, man.
When you shoved it in that guy's mouth, I thought I was going to die.
I did see myself, Bob.
We all knew it was fresh out of the box, but there was that little voice in the back of our head going, I wonder if it was you.
We did that bit at the Bob White Invitational, and that's a pretty conservative audience. And Bob White's a great sport. Him and his wife Barbara are really cool, and they tend to just let us do whatever. But I don't think they were expecting that. I don't think the audience was either, because we did that bit, and I had the purse and I set it down, and this guy in the front row could see what I was about to take out, and he leaned forward, like really scared, and he was like, "Oh no, don't take that out! Don't do that to her!" And he didn't know that. Yeah, of course we set it up. You know what I mean? Because when we do it in the live show, we always make it seem like it's out of somebody's genuinely somebody's purse. But it kills. It's one of our best bits. So it's really, the best part is when we take that out of the purse for the first time and see the audience's reaction, they just go nuts. It's great.
It's funny that you mentioned Bob and Barbara White, because it was Barbara White who taught a woman's self-defense class at the Masters Hall of Fame. She was the one who played Enter the Dojo as part of her PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, right, that's right. They use that as part of a presentation. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was funny. Now, what I want to know, Matt, is what class did that come from?
Well, I have seen classes where people have, tried to turn everyday items. I watched some class where this guy, took things out of his office and was trying to, turn them into weapons. And I just thought, I don't know, I just thought we could maybe take it a little bit further. That's all.
you did that very successfully.
Oh my gosh. That was, I think I watched that episode like 20 times just going, you got to be freaking serious. What? But you know, the most comments that I've been seeing on, so far, at least on my Facebook feed, is, I don't know if it's a most recent one or what, but it's the one, oh, it has to be, because it was the how to fight with a broken leg.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, and I played that thing like 30 times trying to figure out how you kicked with that broken leg, and I was like, how the hell did he do that? That's awesome. And then I had people texting me, Rusty, did you see this? I'm like, yeah, I saw it. I'm still watching it. I can't figure out how he did that. That is so awesome. But, yeah, that was amazing, and, you know, of course, there were some people that are diehard Anderson Silva fans that were like, oh, man, that was too soon, you know?
Yeah, no, there have been, you know, I mean, and I feel like, you know, it's tough to do, if you're going to do comedy, particularly if you're going to do stuff in the martial arts, and part of what you got to do is be topical, you have to be current.
Right.
And you know, some of the best comedy is on the edge, and it's hard to know what to joke about. And, you know, I was watching that fight. I mean, I was watching it live. And it's funny because I haven't seen the last few UFCs, but I just happened to be invited to a UFC, you know, view party. And I went with my jiu-jitsu guys that I train with. And we were watching it. We saw his leg break, and we freaked out like everybody. We're like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. And then I thought, well, we should probably – well, no, we can't do something about that because I don't, you know. But then I read about it, and I read that it wasn't until we read that he was going to make a full recovery, that he'd gotten through surgery successfully, that he was going to be okay, that we decided to move forward with the video. If he had been, you know, if he had had to have his foot amputated, or if it had been something really awful, you know, we probably wouldn't have touched it. But we knew he was going to be okay. And,
yeah.
You know, the best you can do of a situation that is tragic is try to make light of it a little bit, because otherwise you're just left with all this tragedy. I mean, you know, life is heavy enough. And So we did that. We came up with it really on the fly. We were already supposed to do a dojo shoot the next morning anyway, because we shoot on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put that together. And I even then, I sent it to a few friends in the martial arts world and in the film world, and I was like, do you think this is too far? And they were like, this is hilarious. You got to go with this. You got to release
right.
it. And so I always vet. I always, the ones that are on the edge, I always vet them with people. And I send them to a few people whose opinions really matter to me. And I'm like, what do you think? Is this too far? Is this funny? You know, like, and we talk about it. And then ultimately, I make the decision whether or not to release it. And there's some stuff we released that we've taken down. And there's some stuff that we've ultimately cut together and thought, you know what, it's just not, you know, it was a good idea, but it didn't come together the way we wanted. But this one has been received great. I mean, we got, in the first 3 days, 60,000 views in 3 days,
okay.
which is the fastest rising video. We've never had anything get that much viewership that quickly. So, you know, it paid off. It paid off to be funny and topical and to go to the edge, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And, you know, and if Anderson Silva hasn't seen the episode yet, I'm sure he'll love it when he sees it. I'm sure he'll absolutely.
I'm sure once he's had some little, at least you know, a little bit of time to heal. But a testament to him, he was, you know, he was asking the doctor like before surgery apparently when he could resume training. So I mean, he's focused. You know, he's a fighter. You know, the idea that I would hurt, plus these guys are the toughest guys in the world, so the idea that I could hurt their feelings to me is ridiculous, because they're the best paid and most successful, and I can't imagine that most of what I would say would matter to them anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now,
and I really only tend to pick on, I also tend to pick on the guys that I respect, you know, the people that I like,
right.
the people that I like their work, the people that I think are cool. That's why I love doing the Master Ken's Privates. You know, we did the series, we did a few episodes, we're going to do a few more. You know, we're very fortunate because in Albuquerque we have Jackson's Gym right down the street
right.
here. So we got all these amazing, you know, MMA fighters that train right here in Albuquerque. And so I've been able to get these great guys to come on, like Keith Jardine. We had the karate hottie, Michelle Watterson, who was fantastic mm-hmm. and really fun to work with, Julie Kedzie, Greg Jackson, and they come on, and that's why it's so great, because they don't really get to goof around very much. Their job is very serious, and it's, you know, it's real combat. I mean, these guys are modern-day gladiators, so they never get to come on and just kind of goof off and be funny. So we love bringing them out of their world and into ours whenever we can.
Very cool. Very cool.
That's awesome.
Let's go back to Wayne.
Hello?
Wayne?
Can you hear me?
Hello, Wayne.
Okay.
Let's go back to Wayne.
Oh, he's asleep.
Hey. Yeah, you were talking way too long about it.
Yeah, I'm boring him already. Boring him to death.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you have for the show?
You know, right now it's, I mean, you know, the show isn't sponsored, you know, so I do pay for the show, and I do professional video work on the side, and, you know, a lot of people work for free, a lot of people put a lot of time in. I mean, the time commitment is huge. It takes a lot of effort to make an episode. It takes 1 to 2 days to shoot a short, you know, 5 to 7 minute episode, but it takes a week to edit it. So, you know, every episode you see is about a minimum of about 9 days worth of work. So, I mean, it goes by very, very fast for the viewers. But, I mean, for a full episode with all the characters and everything, it's quite a lot of work. For the shorter episodes, that's why we do release other shorter episodes that are just me and my friend Joe Conway, who plays Todd, my assistant. Mm-hmm. And that stuff we can shoot a little bit faster and edit a little bit faster. But I would say, you know, I would love to do more content more often because the fans are always asking for more stuff. But right now it's just limited to how much time and the fact that, you know, we're not a sponsored show. So it's whenever we can make time to make the show. That's one of the most challenging things. And then I would say the other challenging thing is not ruining the take when we're doing something funny. Because, you know, of course, if we laugh, we ruin it. Well, we don't get to laugh. But, Billy kills me. Ben Ziegler, who plays my crazy brown belt student, I ruin the most takes when I'm behind the camera and he has to do his interviews, when he just has to make up Billy's crazy thoughts. I can't watch it. I have to be 30 feet away from the camera when he talks because I will bust up every time.
Yeah,
he kills me.
Gosh, yeah, because, like, I had a student that was exactly like Billy, and I'm like, oh, my freaking God.
He said, there was one episode where he said something about, I think it was it might have been the Hurricane episode, where he started talking about eating, why he eats horse meat, because it makes him stronger and faster, and I just couldn't, we had to do that so many times. He just had to say that over and over. I could not stand there while he was saying that stuff. He kills me. But the whole cast is really fun, and it's that's honestly one of the hardest things. It's just, and that's a great problem to have when you're all getting together and just trying to make each other bust up and laugh all day. That's a lot of fun.
Wow,
yeah.
I bet. Him and I would eat horse meat just for two completely different reasons.
Bob.
Wait on that.
I just snorted coffee, Bob. Okay.
Matt, I gotta ask you. You're in a market where we have the most egotistical. You know, I can really relate to a lot of your characters. Have you ever had any challenges, any threats because these assholes? I'm sorry for that term, but they're assholes. Are taking you too seriously?
Oh yeah, no. Master Ken has gotten death threats. He particularly the first time we ever got like a collection of death threats was when we released the video Ninjutsu is Bullshit.
Right.
And then that got a ton of viewership, so we followed it up with that public service announcement called Stop Ninjutsu, where we talked about it like a disease that you could catch that had to be cured.
Right.
Oh, the ninjas were so angry. The internet ninjas got so mad. We had guys saying they were going to come to my house and cut my head off with a katana sword and all this stuff. And you know, there's been a lot of threats. I mean, actually, honestly, the most recent video, the Silva video, there were a few guys who threatened to, you know, take me on and all this stuff. But ultimately, you know, if that's the way, I don't take any of that stuff seriously, really. I think that that's, And, you know, and the people who are there, there are people, Sue, who even when you explain the premise of the show and that it's satire, are still deeply offended by the content. And I can't do anything for those people. You know, if you want,
yeah.
if you're not willing to laugh at it, I can't help you.
Exactly.
Right. That ninjutsu bit was one of the funniest I'd ever seen.
I'm glad you liked it. That was fun. That was so fun to shoot.
We loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's like, you know.
And, you know, the funny thing is, the other thing is, again, you know, we make fun of stuff that we also think, like, I make fun of stuff I like because, you know, when Bernardo, Bernardo, I'm going to forget how to say his last name, Bernardo Sorrentino. Sorry, Bernardo, if you're listening to this. But he, when he put on the ninja outfit, I was like, ninjas are actually really cool. Like, look, that's a cool outfit. You know, he's got the boots and he's got the grappling hook and the claws and everything. But, you know, then, of course, we make him do goofy stuff and make fun of him. But we're always poking fun at stuff that I also really like, you know, stuff that I've read about, you know, stuff that I've seen in movies that I've been a big fan of martial arts ever since I was a teenager. So whenever anybody, I watch MMA, I'm a fan of MMA, you know, I make fun of that stuff. But I'm a fan of it, you know. I'm not doing it to say that any of this stuff is bad. I'm just, you know, I'm just pointing to some of the unavoidably hilarious situations in the world of martial arts.
Yeah. And I guess some people out there just don't have that sense of humor, you know. And it's,
yeah.
it's unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that they're all on YouTube.
Well, luckily our fans stick up for us too. Luckily, when somebody gets really bent out of shape and says stuff that, you know, people say really outrageous stuff to us, the fans will before I can even read it, the fans are already sticking up for us and being like, "Lighten up, dude!" You know, like they're all defending us. So I like that the fans who follow the show are very, very dedicated and very supportive of what we do.
Yes, definitely. Now, I had a question about the regular cast. So, you know, in every episode, there's Billy, Ben. Now, where did you find everyone for your cast, like Alex and Rachel and Juliet and stuff? Did you send out a casting call, or are these friends of yours?
You know, I actually handpicked a lot of the regular actors. Ben Ziegler and I went to college together. Mm-hmm. And so I knew he was a funny actor, so I asked him to play the brown belt guy, and he's always a very casual actor. He acts when people ask him to, and he'll show up for me whenever I have an idea. And he of course showed up and killed it and did a great job. Julie Lopez, who plays Cynthia, the sort of mousy, shy girl. She's an actress that had been in a bunch of my short films, she's a very talented actress, so I just invited her. In fact, you notice she doesn't have much to do in the first couple episodes, and that's because I knew I wanted her on the show, but I didn't know what she was really going to be. So I just said, just show up, you know, we'll figure something out. And at the last minute I said, bring some glasses. I've never seen you wear glasses. Wear like some mousy kind of like librarian type glasses. And so she brought those, and then she and I kind of talked about it, and she just kind of created this character out of the things I told her, and she did a great job. And then Alex Knight, who plays Anthony, the skeptic, if you will, who's always pointing out where the instructor is going wrong and always being difficult, and I'm sure everybody's had a student like that. So, you know, the guy who just can't agree, who's always got to argue with you no matter what you're instructing or ask a question. But he keeps going. It's like, why are you still here, dude? Like, every season, people are like, why is Anthony still going to class? But you won't have that student, right? I mean, that guy's always there. He's a really talented guy. Actually, I directed Alex in another project, and he was a great actor, very, very funny. He was great with improv. He does an improv show in Albuquerque called The Show, a comedy improv show every Friday night here, Friday and Saturday night here in Albuquerque. And so he's a genius at improv. So I knew that he would be able to come in and just sort of make stuff up and do really funny stuff. It's been great putting this cast together and kind of just, shaping the group. And they all, they're all funny. They're all fun to work with.
Now, did Rachel come up with her own character, or was that kind of like an idea that you had, or did you both come up with it?
That was... That was she definitely put her spin on her character with like the jaw jutting forward, the sort of underbite thing. That's totally her. That's totally her. She came up with that, and I wrote the character. I actually wrote the character really aggressive, and we shot some stuff where we were like, that might be too much. She might have said she might be a little too scary. So we kind of worked on finding a balance for Rachel. But she's a great character, and she's a very talented actress, and does stand-up comedy now too as well. The character that I had on the page was very, very aggressive, and she added some things, the way she speaks and the way she moves and some ideas with her hair and everything that she really helped shape that character.
That's awesome. Yeah, I absolutely love her character. And I'm sure any martial arts instructor out there, and we all do, we all have a student kind of like that, but I had a student when I was teaching karate that was exactly like her. And I was like, where does he get these people?
Right. I trained with a Rachel too. That character's based off, you know, a couple people that I used to train with, and I was like, well, you know, people will recognize this person then, you know?
Oh, man, it's just ingenious. Oh, my gosh. Let's go to Bob. Bob's over there trying not to pee himself, but I'm laughing so hard. So,
issuing depends before the show.
Yeah, I put mine on before we brought Ken on to the show. So, we're good. So, let's go to Bob.
Well, Matt, do you come up with all the ideas by yourself or other than getting together with your friends, do you have got people that email you suggestions? Have you ever used any of them if you get them by email?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, you know, once in a while, I would say weekly fans and friends who know that I do the show will suggest ideas for episodes. There are things that I've taken and thought, you know what, I might be able to do something out of that. In fact, we're considering, there's this, somebody recently emailed me the video for these guys that do, what is it called? EFO, emotional force defense stuff, and it's like the it's like someone throws a punch at you and you just have to open your heart to them and they fall down.
Right.
I watched the video and the fans were like, oh, you got to do something about this, and I was like, oh man, we might have to address that, because that's pretty tough not to tackle it. But so yeah, I mean, absolutely, there are ideas, and then other times the idea I posted on Instagram today because I was reading. I leaf through my martial arts books when we're shooting and just to get ideas and to reread my texts and stuff. And I found a page in the Tao of Jeet Kune Do by Bruce Lee. There's an entire page that is all about how to kick a man when he's down.
Right.
That's funny. Like he has instruction on how to kick a man when he's down, where to kick him, how many times. I mean, that's a bizarre thing to map out. Like to kick a man when he's down, here's how you should kick him. Here's how you can kill him by kicking him in the temple. Like that's bizarre. There were little diagrams and everything. So I went into the dojo and we shot some other stuff. And then I was like, let's do a video on how to kick a man when he's down. That's funny.
I love that. You know, my philosophy is the only time I ever kick somebody in the head is when they're on the ground.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And it's a totally valid, like, you know, you can look at it from a totally valid standpoint of real life, you know, true street combat and all that. But also, that's kind of funny. So we will take that and run with it. And we came out. I'm really excited. That video is going to be hilarious. I can't wait to release that. So yeah, we get idea suggestions from all kinds of people. And sometimes I'm able to incorporate them. And other times it's just, like I said, me going to class or just reading a magazine or reading one of my old martial arts books. And I'm like, that's an episode right there. That's an episode.
Right.
Well, you know what's funny? What's funny, man, is I just texted Dan Heck from the Masters Hall of Fame, and I said, let's do a Merodote seminar at the Masters this year.
Oh, man. That would... That would be the only time, like, everyone shows up. That would be cool. No, I just got a text, and this is from my buddy Amy, who practices stick fighting, which she knows is bullshit, but she's fixing it. But anyway, she says that if the show is unsponsored, what can us as fans do to support it and ensure its future?
You know, the...
What? What?
I said, make the checks payable to me.
Well, the best thing we have right now is we have the Enter the Dojo store. If you go to enterthedojoshow.com, we sell DVDs. You can get white belt certificates. You can get demoted by Master Ken. we sell autographed pictures. We had a deal with Century. They were selling the t-shirts, the Master Ken t-shirts and stuff through the holidays. That was, now the holidays are over. We're going to put the t-shirts back up on our website. So right now buying, Dojo products is the best way to support us. If we can get the Dojo store to the point where it's really profitable, then I can just use that to just fund the show. And then we'll be, you know, I love the idea of being independent. I mean, I would love to have the show sponsored in various ways, but if it just ends up being us selling t-shirts and me doing seminars and stuff to support the show, I love doing that too. So right now, that's the easiest way. Go to enterthedojoshow.com, buy a white belt certificate, buy a t-shirt, buy a DVD, and, you know, that money will go towards the further, you know, support of the show.
Awesome.
Oh, very cool.
Awesome.
Now, do you? I know the show is shot at a friend's dojo. Do you train at a dojo, or do you own a school presently, Matt?
I've never owned a school. I've trained with up until, like, I want to say a year and a half ago or so, a year and a half, 2 years ago, because I moved down here. I trained with the Jeff Speakman franchise, the American Kenpo, the Kenpo 5.0 guys.
Mm-hmm.
I have my second degree black belt with those guys. My first style was Okinawan Kenpo, and I got a first degree black belt in that from a great gentleman named Rick Pelletier back in Maine, Okinawan Kenpo and Kabuto. He was a great guy. He passed away just last year of cancer, but he was a fantastic my best instructor. He set a foundation for me that has served me well my whole life. He's really an amazing guy. And now I train with New Mexico Jiu-Jitsu. It's a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu school here in Albuquerque. And I've always sort of dabbled in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I was always interested in it, and so now I'm going through an actual, trying to get certified in it. So focus on ground fighting nowadays.
Awesome. Very cool.
Very cool.
Now, for our listeners out there, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking to Matt Page, the man behind the Master Ken persona on the hit YouTube series Enter the Dojo. And I'd like to call out everyone that's on the chat board right now. If you've got any questions whatsoever, I know you're hanging out there, just go ahead and write them in the chat board. Or better yet, call in. Join the fun, you guys, 347-677-0699. All right, let's bring the mic over to Wayne. Oh, yep.
This has to be one of the funnest and funniest shows we've ever done.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is. And it's just, it's like, you know, like I said, I had to put on Depends before we did the part where we were calling the Ameridote Studio. Right? And I really tried to make it sound like, you know, because like me and Bob were talking in the green room before the show, and I'm like, you know, dude, you know, Let's see if we can actually interview him like we do a regular guest. You know, let's ask about Ameridote and stuff like that, and, you know, see if he plays along and stuff like that. And thank you for playing along. And I couldn't do it anymore. I can't. So I don't know how you guys do that, because I did a very very small, like, film stuff when I was younger. I did just stunt doubling and stuff like that. But I did this corny thing where I was like a Swedish ninja. Yeah, go figure.
Okay.
But we had to be trained to talk in Swedish. You know, and stuff like that. White geese, the white, you know, ninja stuff. And, you know, and I was like the stupid ninja. And, you know, and it was just like, and I couldn't do it. You know, it took like you said, you know, 2 days to do like a 60-second scene because I just couldn't do it. And I don't know how you guys do it. You know, what's your guys' secret? Is it just a matter of going, okay, we're going to get through this, or does it really take, you know, 10 takes for like 3 seconds?
You know, usually it's dictated by the schedule. I mean, we usually have a lot of laughs when we think we have time. And then we get to the end of the day and we're like, you know what, we're going to run out of, we've got to just stop screwing around here and get this done. And then we can kind of lock it down. But even then, you know, I mean, there are things that are just so hard to hang on. We did an episode that's coming out in season 3 where I have to show how to defend against someone who's a pickpocket. And so I turn to Billy and I stick my butt out and I say, grab my wallet. And so he just grabs a whole handful of my butt. And man, I couldn't, the first like 3 times, he just went for it, man. He's a big old slap. And I was like, I can't get through that. I can't have him grabbing my ass like that and not laugh. It's too funny. So it's still pretty tough. We still ask things of each other that are like, I don't know how I'm going to do this without goofing off.
Did Billy enjoy it too?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it feels good.
I forgot what episode it was, but it was like, oh God, I don't remember if it was like the, and then tickle his feet or something, but somebody was on the ground and sitting on somebody, or I forgot what it was. And yeah, that was another, I think I peed myself, I need to go now type of, I forgot what episode that was. Shit.
That might have been the rape defense class.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there was one where Billy, and some people, that was another one where, like, you know, we lost some viewers over that one, but the people who got it really liked it. And, yeah, that was another one where I just had to tell Billy to hump me, and it was like,
I thought it was like Rachel on Anthony or something, I forgot what it was.
Oh, yeah, at the end of the episode, we have Rachel and Billy double team Anthony, like they pin him down. They pin him down, and Rachel just starts humping him. That's another one where it's like, I don't know how. I don't know how we get through those.
Oh my gosh! Now are all of your shows like scripted, or do they start out with a script and then everyone just kind of improvs from there?
We've made up, you know, there's some episodes that are very, like, for instance, the episode, The Thrust of Freedom, was pretty much exactly the way it was scripted, pretty much word for word, and that episode is very, very close to the script. Then we did an episode that was a zombie defense episode. We had these Spanish-speaking students, and we were teaching how to defend against zombies.
Zombie
that episode.
Something like that.
Zombie Day Defense, I think we called it. And that one had no script. That was something where the only part of that that was scripted was when we gave Billy bath salts in the beginning. We give Billy bath salts, and then he attacks one of the students. That was scripted. And we shot that, and then we were sitting around at lunch that day, and we were like, you know, it's too bad we didn't write a zombie episode. And so we started thinking about it, and we were like, I bet we could make one up. I bet we could take 2 hours. And with that, literally, the rest of that episode was shot in like 2 hours because we had to finish filming a different episode that was scripted, and then we finished, and we were like, okay, we got 2 hours. Let's make the zombie episode. This is what it is. And we just ran around doing all this crazy stuff, and it was so much fun. It was so awesome. And those sometimes end up being some of the most fun things to shoot, and sometimes the funniest stuff is the stuff that just comes up on the fly.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Let's go to Wayne. So let's give the mic over to Wayne.
One of my favorite episodes was the one with the Kung Fu school.
Oh yeah.
The finale of season 2. We had a two-parter there.
It reminded me so much of, I started training back in the mid-70s, and
it wasn't uncommon for people to go from dojo to dojo and, you know, just walk in and start challenging people. And, you know, it just reminded me so much of that. Do you guys have some more of that planned?
Yeah, there's something that is going to happen. There's a couple things that are going to happen in season three. You know, the basic premise of season three is going to be that it turns out that Ken has an angry landlord, and is his landlord, and he's a great actor, a friend of mine named Hugh Elliott who plays his landlord, and Ken hasn't been paying the rent on this massive dojo that he only has like six students. You know, of course he can't afford this huge place. So going to have to find ways to make extra money, and that's going to and his nemesis Linda from the Kung Fu school is going to come back and set him up in a little bit of a conflict that's going to play out in season three. It's going to be great. So we will have new guest stars and more villains and all this great stuff that Ken is going to have to deal with. Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
Looking forward to that. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, looks like we've got a caller. In fact, this is Hunchy Dan Heck, the CEO of the Masters Hall of Fame, where you'll be appearing later on this year. So, Hunchy Dan, how are you?
I'm bad area. I can hear you, but I don't know if you...
We can barely hear you.
You're breaking up, Hunchy.
I'm driving on the freeway going into work.
Oh, cool. Well,
very cool.
I just
okay.
got on the
Go
call.
Ahead. Cool. Well, go ahead and start talking, and we'll let you know if you start cutting out.
Master Ken, I'm really looking forward to having you at the Masters Hall of Fame this year. You're going to be a fun addition to what we do every year.
I'm very excited. Ken loves getting up on stage and telling it like it is, you know?
Yeah, I've got to see you at Bob White's event several times, so... This is something I'm really looking forward to. I think you're going to be you're going to bring the house down. I'm really, really excited.
Yeah, well, I love doing this, and I love, the first one we did in Newport Beach when I did my first roast and, you know, kind of went after guys like Frank Dukes and Superfoot, Bill Wallace and all those guys, they're all really good sports, and I'm glad that they understand, what the style is. But, man, there's some jokes that I wrote for those where I'm like, I don't think I should say this one. And then I get up there, and I'm like, ah, what the hell? I'll just say it.
You know, some of them, art imitates reality, though. So.
Yeah.
Right.
And the usual, and the crowd, a lot of the usual crowd, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great.
It'll be
well,
so cool.
I'm
going
to let you
guys
get back to your show. I'm going to listen on the way in, but I got a CP guy behind me, and I don't think he looks too happy about me being on my cell phone. So I'm going to go back and
Mute
again, speaker.
All right.
Okay. Hey,
all right,
bye.
All right. That was, awesome.
Well, Matt, this is really, I don't know if you're aware of the significance this year has to bring. We're sort of doing it in conjunction with the 50th anniversary of the Long Beach Internationals in Long Beach this year.
Yeah, my manager told me that was, she told me of that, and that is a big deal. That's really exciting. That's great.
Ed Parker Jr. is going to be the guest speaker. Now, we are instituting, Rusty and I talked about this, we're instituting a new tradition where the MC of the show buys the first round of drinks for Rusty's and my table.
Oh wow! Okay, how big is the how big is that table?
They're 10 tops.
I'll see if we can get a two topper for you, so that you and Rusty can have an intimate table, and then we'll buy drinks for that table.
That's awesome. Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
Bill Wallace, and we had him on the show a few weeks ago. He is a great guy, great sport. I was actually inducted into the Masters Hall of Fame at the same year he was when he was the guest speaker. He was walking down the line, grabbed some guy randomly out of the line and kissed him on the cheek. He's a very cool guy.
Wow.
He's that's very friendly of him. I have to say, I've watched Bill Wallace's seminars. I got to say, man, it's amazing his skill, you know, at his age, like watching him still teach them how fast he can move, his techniques. I mean, he's a great instructor. I mean, he's, you know, everybody I've talked to that's had a seminar with him, brought him out for a seminar, it has just been, you know, has nothing but good things to say about him. And I have, you know, gone up to him after a couple, like I've been at a couple of shows with him and, you know, always try to just sneak over for a second and be like, thank you for being a good sport and I'm sorry. And he's always just like, that's good, it's fine. You know, he gets what we're doing, but yeah. I'm glad these guys get it, you know, because they're really fantastic athletes, fantastic martial artists, and I've been reading about them and watching them on TV, reading about them in magazines since I was a kid. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly.
We were calling him Sensei or Master, and he corrected us. He stopped us and said, "It's Bill." I went,
"Yeah."
Wow.
Yeah, we're like,
"Shit." He's still going to the split. And there are certain people like him and Bill Riyazaki, they say, "You call me Bill." I'm like, I don't think so.
Right. Right. Oh, my goodness. Now, Bob, it looked like Hunchy Dan pressed 1 again. I don't know. But let's find out.
Not on my computer. Maybe it's on yours.
I don't know.
Are you trying to find the English?
Are you guys there?
Yeah, Dan.
Yeah, Hunchy.
Hunchy Dan, did you press 1?
Yes, I pressed 1.
He passed me, so. Well, good. He pressed 1. It's good. He's got the English channel.
Yeah.
He's got the English channel. Hey, Matt, I had a couple questions. You probably already answered them because I got on the show late. Did you ever think that the success of the show would be this successful? I mean, you're like an icon now. You're 3 seasons in.
Yes, I mean, honestly, no, I really didn't. I mean, I wanted to do, you know, my friends and I, we were doing short films and thought, you know, it's a shame that we prep these short films for like 8 or 10 weeks or sometimes longer, and then we get together for 3 days, we shoot, and then we don't shoot again for a year or something. It'd be cool if we did something episodic so we could get together and like I said, I've been watching The Office and was becoming fascinated with that. And I wanted to kind of get into the YouTube thing, but I didn't know that the martial arts community would embrace the show the way they have. And I never planned on it being a live show. That's all my manager, Tiffany Richards, my tour manager, made that happen. She convinced me to, after we did the Bob White event, she's like, "I think you could do this. I think you could do like a live show out of this." And I was like, "No, no one's going to want to watch that." But it's been great. I mean, I've gotten to travel. I've been to England and Wales, and this year I'm going to Ireland, Scotland, England, Germany. I might be going to Australia to do my live show. And everywhere I go, there's so much goodwill, and I love making people laugh. I mean, I just feel really lucky. We got together and we shot 3 episodes in a weekend on a whim because we thought it would be funny, and from there everything just grew, and I've felt so very blessed and very lucky, and I'm just so thankful for the fans and the people actually still want to see the show because I love doing it.
Well, it's a testament to what you guys are doing. I mean, mm-hmm. I heard Century picked you up. I just think the future is unlimited for what you're trying to do. In drawing attention, the parody on the martial arts community is hilarious. So I think it's the messages that you're putting out there, getting us to laugh on ourselves. Sometimes we take ourselves a little bit too seriously.
Exactly.
It's just a good antidote for our community. So I'm going to go back on mute.
Okay.
I appreciate you saying that too, because I really do feel, I mean, I understand the martial arts serious business. I understand the self-defense serious business. You're teaching people how to deal with life and death situations. But it's also a very bizarre world with a lot of really interesting people. And I don't think that, like, whenever anybody does get upset about us joking around, I generally think the last thing that the martial arts needs is to be more serious than it already is. I think there's plenty of people out there that are very willing to be very serious about it day in and day out. I think, you know, I think we're happy to continue to bring levity to the situation.
I think it's hilarious. You know, I'm going to poke fun at a couple people that email me for the Masters Hall of Fame. You know, some of the people that email me have a resume bigger than yours, and they're serious. So, yeah, I don't answer them. You know, I don't want to offend them and have them fly out and kill me. But I thought I'd share that with you. One guy, for real, I email back and says, "This Master Ken," and I never got an email back from him. So. I do appreciate what you're doing, and
that's great.
It is hilarious. I look forward to seeing you again. All right, talk to you guys later. I'll go back on mute.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It'll be assured though, Matt, that at the Masters Hall of Fame this year, most of the regulars that come each and every year, the ambassadors and the other masters that come in, are incredibly humorous and just have a great sense of humor and are a little bit, you know, crazy fun like that too. So they will be, I'm sure, the first to, like, pee their pants and get up and, you know, want to be a part of it. So it'll be great. You know, and I've got this picture in my head of all these people in, like, evening gowns and tuxes, just rolling over themselves and, you know, throwing beer everywhere just because they're laughing so hard. It's like, it's going to be great.
It is really, I got to say, it is really fun to do those events because they're not sure what I'm going to say, but I'm not even sure sometimes what I'm going to say until I get up to the stage. So sometimes I'm just as surprised as you are when I'm on stage and, I have my notes and I have my script, but there's a couple things that come to me that I'm like, oh, here we go. Let's see what they think. I'm just going to say something here.
Yeah, the crowd at this year's Masters Hall of Fame, I'm sure you can pretty much say anything.
I'm excited for it. It's going to be great. I'm very excited for that.
It'll be cool.
Just remember, Rusty and I are the funnest and the funniest of the entire crowd, so we're good.
Okay, good. Now, good to know.
Good to know. Speaking of which, Bob, now why isn't Master Ken on the roster for award recipients? That's what I want to know.
I wonder if he'd accept it.
That's one of my rats.
That's true.
That's the guy listening to the show.
That's true. That's true. People have to accept, though. That's the thing. Yeah, that's... Dan's going, oh my God, Rusty! But
well, they gave me, you know, when I went to the Hall of Fame, the first roast that I did, they gave me a plaque. They gave Ken a plaque, and they announced the name like an hour in, and I was still in costume. I was to sign autographs and stuff, and they had me come in, and I obviously didn't have any speech prepared. I already done my bit. I already did my roast, so I just went up and grabbed the award and said, thank you very much. This award is bullshit. And then walked off, and that was... And got a standing ovation. People were like, people loved it. So you know, feel free to give Master Ken awards as long as you understand he won't appreciate them.
And honestly, you better be made out to Matt Page.
Matt Page appreciates that stuff. Master Ken will have no respect for it.
Oh my gosh. Now that gives me an idea, Bob. You know, considering that we usually try to broadcast, well, not live, but we try to broadcast something during the event and stuff like that. Matt, it would be great if we could get you on the mic for just a couple minutes, if we could, when you're there in Long Beach. I think that would be very cool if you can spare the time if people aren't like if people aren't like hounding you for your autograph. Oh man. So we should try to make that happen, Bob.
I think we should, and by the way, because I do this with every guest that has books and We on the show, as a momentum of the show, the guest has to give us a signed autograph picture.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know the funny thing? I always kid every guest about that, but they always say, "Sure, what's your address?"
Yeah, that's part of the deal.
They've never said no, and so I just keep asking.
I think it's because it's weird, you know, it's weird at a certain point. Like, I don't know what it's like for the other guys, but, like, the idea that anyone would want an autographed picture, it's just, you know what I mean, that's such a foreign thing. And then now, you know, whenever I do the events, I mean, Master Ken signs autographs. And so, I mean, whenever anybody wants one, I'm totally down for it, because I just still, it's still very surreal. Just the idea anybody would want a picture and an autograph is still very strange to me. So if that makes somebody happy, I'm all for it.
Is the success of the show and the fact people are now? Do you look like you do in the show? Full mustache, the whole bit.
No, I my hair is different. I usually clean shaven. I wear glasses half the time. So I never get. I mean, in fact, honestly, a lot of the events I go, I do my thing. I sign autographs, do the pictures, sell the merch and stuff. I go back to my hotel room. I get out of the whole get-up, and then I'll go back. This happened in San Antonio. I came back down, and I had a conversation with a guy who had just talked to me 10 minutes ago as Master Ken, had no idea who I was.
Wow.
He reintroduced himself to me, had the same conversation we had just had, and had no idea that I was the same dude he had just talked to 10 minutes ago. So there is a certain anonymity that comes with the character, honestly, that I can slip into character, say all the outrageous stuff I want, and then just kind of disappear into the crowd, which I think is a good thing.
That's a very good thing. Now, with the success you've had and the people asking you for autographs and signed pictures, is this still really blowing your mind how big this thing became?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm still amazed. I mean, I just got a message from a guy who's a fan in Croatia, and he was trying to figure out, he was having a hard time with how much it was going to cost him to mail shirts, and so he wanted to buy T-shirts and stuff, and we were talking, and I was just, you know, messaging with him, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm a huge fan, and my friends are fans, and I'm like, Croatia, that's insane, that, you know, like, when people from... I mean, you know, there are people from the Middle East, people from, you know, small towns in Australia, people from Spain, you know, just send me messages, like, from the middle of nowhere that are just like, hey, we're big, you know, we're big fans. And I'm like, it still blows my mind that it's not only popular, but popular worldwide. And that's one of the things that the show has given to me that I'm very thankful for, is that I just get to meet all these great people from around the world virtually, and then when I go on tour, I get to meet them in person, and they just tell me how much that they love the show. I mean, I feel really lucky for that. So, yeah, no, I'm still amazed. I never would have thought it would be this popular, and it seems like we're just still getting going. You know, I'm going to do more tour dates this year than I did last year. Master Ken, we have a new series of instructional. You know how magazines do instructional techniques. We're going to be in every issue, or at least the next six issues of Martial Arts Illustrated, which is a big magazine in the UK.
Right.
We have a new feature called Master Ken's Column, and he's going to be instructing. He's going to be teaching Ameridote. I mean, just it's all shocking and pleasantly surprising to me.
Wow! And it's funny, you mentioned all these exotic places where you're going, you know, UK and Ireland, and then there's Long Beach.
Yeah. I know, right? Long Beach with a bunch of crazy martial artists. What's up with
now,
that?
How did you come up with the name Ameridote?
That was my next question. Awesome.
I was talking to Scott, who's a contributing writer for the show, and we were joking about how it should be a name that technically means nothing. You know, like, we should say, well, okay, we should put America in it because America or American kind of has that melding pot kind of sense to it of, like, everything. We've Americanized martial arts, so well, part of it will be America, and then it should be a translation that Ken wouldn't understand, because literally it would be, it's like America way hand.
Yeah.
So that doesn't real. Like, you could make it into something that, you know, so we wanted it to be somewhat meaningless, but to have an American kind of touch to it, so that it's like, you know, and so once we I think we originally we were calling it America Dote, and then we just shortened it to Ameridote, and it was like, that's it. We'll call it Ameridote. It's kind of memorable. It's simple to say, and so that's the way we came up with it.
I think it sounds better than America. I can't even say it. Ameritado.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had a few different versions of it and a few different ideas. But once we said that, I think I said over the phone, "What about Ameridote?" And then we started laughing and we're like, "Yeah, that's ridiculous. Let's call it that."
That tiger is incredible. What was the development like for the logo you have?
Oh, that's by an amazing artist friend of mine named Kelly Savage. She's a production designer for the show. She designed the T-shirts and the white belt certificate, and I just told her a tiger, and I don't know what else. I want it to be a tiger. And so she made the tiger red, white, and blue, you know, like the flag, like the American flag. She made the paws, the tiger paws, purposely very small, because that was kind of silly. She's a very talented artist here in Santa Fe. That does some design work for the show, and she did an amazing job. She's created stuff for the show too. I don't know if you guys saw the Valentine's Day episode of Dojo, where Cynthia gives everyone a handmade Valentine's Day card, and then she comes in with this massive card that she's made for Billy that has like Christmas lights and stuff like that in it, like. That's Kelly is the one who designs that stuff, and she did. And unfortunately, we are.
Ooh, what happened? I think I lost my I lost my feed there for a second. Sorry. Okay,
yeah,
Matt, you still there? Okay, okay. I think we're here now. I think we're all here. Matt, you still there? What happened to Matt? Bob, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Matt disappeared. Ah, let's call him back.
Yes, please. Yes.
Because we've only got like 5 minutes left.
This show is bullshit.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
This show's bullshit.
I know. Let's try it again. Ameridote. Oh.
I thought that was some answering.
Oh, man. I have no idea what happened there.
Hey, you know, Hanchi Dan dropped the call as well.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. Wayne
no, no problem.
Thought the show was, Wayne figured that you thought the show was bullshit, so I don't know. Something happened, and all of a sudden, you were gone. Damn Skype. But, sorry about that. But since we're getting into the last ten minutes of the show, I just have just a couple more questions. Now, for any budding filmmaker out there that wants to do projects, not necessarily similar to yours, but you know, that wants to get out there and do something like that on YouTube, what advice would you give to those people, like people just getting out of school?
Yeah, you know, I would advise a few things. I would say the number one thing that I tell people when they talk about particularly doing a series is to do something that is sustainable in terms of the number of people that are involved. Because one of the biggest disadvantages of the Dojo show is we have about 17 people that it takes to make the show when we do it with all the characters. And it's become increasingly difficult to get all of them in one place at one time. My cinematographer, Corey Weintraub, is incredibly talented. He's always filming independent feature films or working on the TV shows that film here. So it's very difficult to get him and my other camera guy, Ariel Rakes, and to get the cast actor, Ray Bulge, and Zach, who plays Steven, the hand model. Who's a great actor, too. I haven't mentioned him. He's a great actor, very talented. They all live in Los Angeles, so to get everybody together and film the actual show is becoming more and more challenging. So I would say, number one, film something. If it's going to be episodic, come up with a concept that only depends on a few people that are going to be available, that are going to be around to shoot, because that's one of the toughest things. But the other thing is, I would just say, you know, don't get mired down in, don't get held down by too many details. Like, you know, we have so much technology at our fingertips. We have amazing cameras that are really affordable. We have every computer comes now with like editing software that's really affordable. Just go out and make stuff, like, you know, make stuff and learn by doing, and just get it out there, because it's so easy now. I mean, it used to be such a big deal. You used to have to buy film and rent really expensive equipment, and you used to have to get it developed and transferred, and you used to have to hire all these people. But now you can just make movies. I mean, you can make movies with your iPhone. It's amazing now. So I would say just, you know, just make stuff. Just use the technology and realize how easy it is, and just do it. You know, that's the main thing, is just keep making stuff, you know. And that's hard too, because a lot of people won't understand it. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. Sometimes it takes money. But I would say, you know, the main thing is just get an idea and follow through with it. Cause a lot of people want to make, and they'll talk about making stuff and they never do it. You know, but it really only counts if you get the thing written, and then you go and shoot it, and then you cut it, you put it out there. That's what immediately you'll separate yourself from tons of other people who would like to do it, but just can't make themselves take that next step.
Right. Awesome. Great advice. And Wayne, do you have any last minute questions?
How long have you been doing the videography?
What's that?
How long have you been doing the videography?
You know, since I graduated college, I graduated film school in 2005 and started doing promotional videos right out of college. I had an amazing, I went to the College of Santa Fe, which is now Santa Fe University, and I took all the cinematography classes, I had fantastic instructors. This guy, John Allen, taught me most of what I know about lighting and lens and all these things, and I've been doing it professionally pretty much since I've been making my living is making, you know, promotional videos. Sometimes I also work as an actor. You know, I had a couple of lines in The Lone Ranger and a couple other films. I occasionally manage to get in some of the movies I shoot here. And so I support myself doing that stuff. And then, you know, hopefully can get Dojo to that point too, where Dojo is more of my job. But yeah, I've been doing it for years, and it was also a big advantage because I had a lot of the training I needed by the time I was ready to do Dojo. I knew how to do it to make it look good, to make it look professional, because that's a big compliment we get on a regular basis. Is people say, wow, it looks like a real show. And we're like, well, it kind of is a real show, you know? So.
That's awesome. And Bob, what about you, buddy? Have any last-minute questions for Matt?
No, I really... Matt, this was absolutely the funnest show we have done. I really enjoyed it, and I thank you for doing it for us. You know, I was talking to Alan Woodman, which you were on one of his shows, about you being on our show. And
that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. Alan's a great guy, and thank you to all of you for having me on the show. I love talking about the show. I'm so excited that people want to hear about it at all. I feel really lucky that anybody wants to know about it. So thank you for watching. Thanks for helping get the word out about the show. If anybody is new, is just hearing about this, just Google Enter the Dojo and you'll get the YouTube channel and the Master Ken Live site and all that stuff. But thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Matt. Thank you. Thank you. And we look forward to seeing you at the Masters Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah, I can't wait. I hope to make you people shocked. I hope to shock you.
Oh, we're looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Matt. Have a great rest of the evening now.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Take care, bud.
All right. Well, that was Matt Page, the man behind Master Ken. So tune in next week when I don't even know who we're having on next week, Bob. Who do we have?
Well, I'm talking to Don Baird tomorrow about being our guest for next week.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Cool. So hopefully we'll have Master Don Baird on. And if we if that falls through, then as you know, listeners, we always have something cool in store for you. So tune in next week with me and Bob, and we'll talk to everyone next time. Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, Bob. We'll see y'all next week. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Ameridote's bullshit.